Let's go, baby!
Time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold. Return of the Empire. Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
What it do, baby? We are back.
Sorry. What an intro.
Sorry.
Coming in hot.
Return of the Empire.
What it do, baby?
What it do, baby?
Haven't heard that one in a while. Obviously, Emil Fragoso, 49ers insider for Sacktown Sports. Joined, of course, by Nate Littlefield and Kyle Ledbetter on the ones and twos back there. Our cameras are a bit wonky today, so we are coming on the StreamYard. Hopefully, Nate will be on there in a second as well. Weird kind of vibes today, and obviously weird kind of vibes coming out of Cleveland. You know, 19-17 Cleveland over the Niners. They dropped their undefeated streak of 15 games, and here we are now, 5-1 going into week 7.
It's a learning experience for the 49ers. It's a learning experience for Jake Moody.
Yeah.
It's probably good. It's good they lost. You know, I'd say it's a good time. I mean, it's bad for their record and for seeding wise, because now we're tied with the Detroit Lions for the number one seed and the Eagles, of course. But I am not that upset. I thought Moody was going to nail that 41 yards.
Yeah.
I thought that was going in. I know he had a miss earlier, but I really thought he was going to bounce back and hit that. It just wasn't happening. It wasn't happening that whole game. And I've been saying this on the show before we were doing it live. I've been saying weird things have been going the Niners' way. Balls bouncing weird, like last week, the Oren Burks fumble recovery.
Yeah.
Or no, it wasn't
Kevin Givens.
Kevin Givens' fumble recovery knocked out by Fred Warner. Barely stays in bounds, misses like three legs, this stuff. And still the Niners end up with it. So a lot of weird stuff has been going the Niners' ways. I'm getting a little conspiratorial, a little third eye opening here.
Ooh.
But this was a game where that was not the case.
No, everything went the opposite way for the Niners. After the first drive, obviously they were very, very successful there on a 5-play, 84-yard drive to kick off the game. Everything went to hell. when it rains, it pours for the 49ers, and boy, did it pour in Cleveland.
Yeah,
literally it poured in Cleveland.
I cut you off. I ruined that.
It's okay.
Yeah, well, I'm not a professional.
You're trying.
What it do, baby?
Well, what it do,
what it
baby?
Do, baby? Yeah, no, it didn't do a lot for the Niners in the Cleveland 19-17. It wasn't like an impressive showing for the Browns whatsoever offensively, but their defense was unbelievable. And I can't believe I'm saying this because I feel I'm very, very high on the Niners defense and who they have in that talent, in that unit. But Cleveland, they might have the best defense in the NFL.
They very well might. Niners were missing Dre Greenlaw.
They were.
Which I'm not hearing a ton of people talk about. Maybe I'm just not listening because I was sad that they lost.
Yeah.
But Dre Greenlaw, it's they need him. They need him.
Yes, they do.
They need him very badly. PJ Walker looked good. He really stepped in. After only being there for about a month and a half, late August.
Yeah, off the practice squad, you know.
Yeah, so
light work.
They had our number. They had the Niners' number. It was, home field. It was pouring rain. The ball was slipping out of hands. It was one of the Niners' worst games in the past few years that I've watched. Probably the worst game I've watched since Denver last year.
Oh, yeah.
The Niners-Denver game last
year.
I think that game was worse than week one last year.
Maybe the Eagles championship game just because of the circuit, what happened, but
yeah, I mean, just from a playing standpoint, it just was so ugly. Brock couldn't get anything going until really the end of the game, which I guess we
drive.
Can talk positives here, right? Are we allowed to, even though they lost?
You want to do positives first? We can do positives
first. Well, I just want to touch on that Brock Purdy played poorly all game, right?
Correct.
Looked very pedestrian, like very bad.
It was his worst performance of his career.
He was being bull rushed. He was getting the ball out. He would have to get it out under 2 seconds, and that's like borderline impossible.
Prior to that last drive, he had one passing yard in the second half.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So the third quarter was a nightmare for him too. I think there were minus yards,
negative
12
net yards at one point.
Yeah, so
girls, is that good? Is this golf?
No, that is bad.
That's bad.
I keep looking at the camera like the camera's working. Camera's not working on YouTube. We'll fix it though. Don't worry about it, guys.
You can see my pretty mug on YouTube on the StreamYard.
Anyways, Brock, that final drive comes in. And he turned it on, and he looked very good. He had one missed throw that was pretty brutal to Juwan Jennings, and we had Brandon Ayuk kind of have a was going to say like a renaissance game, but that whole game he looked bad. He dropped three pretty crucial catches.
That deep ball.
Arguably one of them was a touchdown. You never know what's going to happen, but at least one. But Ayuk comes back on that drive, has a short catch, makes a like three guys miss, and goes for like 40 yards, putting the Niners in great position. I think Brock comes out of that, misses a throw to Juwan.
Yes.
And then gets another one to Juwan out, basically same out, route on the other side of the field. They get a lot of debate on if Niners should have ran a play. We're just talking in crosstalk about this. If the Niners should have ran one more play for Jake Moody to get closer. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it. Kyle, I think, was showing confidence in Jake Moody by kicking a 41-yard field goal.
Yeah.
After he missed his first field goal of his NFL career in the game.
And it made one earlier as well. He was 1-1.
Yeah,
one for two, I should say.
One for
two.
Day. He just sliced it. I don't know what to say.
Not by much either. It was close. It was pretty close.
And the ground's wet. Coming out of that, though, you go, if they won that, you're happy, of course. But you're like, okay, we got a lot to tighten up here.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the pressure's off of not being an undefeated team. The Eagles end up going on to lose later. Seattle lost earlier in the day, which is always makes me so happy to see the Seahawks lose. Because I don't know if you know this, I hate the Seattle Seahawks.
I had no idea.
I hate them.
I had no clue.
So, seeding-wise, Niners are still in a very good spot. It's just a little dirty, you know?
Yeah. It's just a little dirty. And, you know, all the players kind of said the same thing after the game. Nick Bosa, Kyle Shanahan, Fred Warner, they all said the same thing. We didn't earn it today.
Yeah.
They did. They deserve this win. You know, it's great that Moody had that chance to win that game, but it's not on Moody. It was really on us in the defense, letting up over 300 yards passing or 300 yards total on defense. And offense just could not get anything going. The run game struggled. Christian McCaffrey was 11 for 43 rushing. Jordan Mason was 5 for 27. Debo had 2 for 11. Mitchell was 2 for negative 3. Just, they couldn't get anything going. And when the Niners get outrun on the ground, that's a bad sign. This is a team that's a run-first offense. And so for them to not get that run game going was a real struggle.
Yeah, that's something they really need to get back to next week. Yeah. It was McCaffrey goes out, like you said, which I guess we should real quick talk about the injuries.
Yeah.
Looks like nothing super bad, right?
That's the biggest win of them all for them. Is that there's no bad injuries.
Trent Williams maybe should have stayed out. You know, he didn't want to put Jalen Moore,
correct,
into a position where he's in the rain up against Myles Garrett in home or at home, their home. So I get that was his reasoning. He probably just wanted to stay in the game, right? He probably thinks
he wanted to play Myles Garrett.
Yeah, so he was hurt. He got tossed around a bit. He got beat up. Clearly not a classic Trent Williams game.
Four pressures allowed, the most in a game in a long time for him.
Yeah, so, but overall, Debo got hurt. On the first play of the game, I think the theory is that adrenaline kicked in and he just kind of powered through to the point and then he realized he was hurt.
You could tell something was off, though, and they kind of mentioned that like Debo was powering through, but you could tell that he was like laboring in
so
certain spots.
Debo was out almost immediately, and then McCaffrey doesn't know when he got hurt, from what I understand.
Yeah, no one knows, really.
Yeah,
a couple plays.
He doesn't even know when he got hurt. So he kind of realized he's having some pain here, goes out, comes back in for one more play. One, I think, 8-yard run or something. Nothing classic McCaffrey.
Nothing crazy.
You know, most running backs
could
get 3 yards.
You could see he was hurting.
Yeah, so he goes out immediately. He just couldn't do it and then goes in the back. And that was it for him. This run game needs to be established early against Minnesota, and they need to really rely on it and not get away from it, even if it's a close game.
Absolutely.
I really, really think I really want to see Jordan Mason pound the rock. A lot. I don't know what's up with Elijah Mitchell. His usage is not what I thought it would be at this point in the season.
He just come back from injury, though. They're working him back in, obviously. They don't want to put too much on him.
Yeah, I just don't know health-wise where he's at, mentally where he's at. I want to see more Elijah Mitchell. I really do, because I know his potential. I know there's been maybe a couple flashes this season of good runs.
Yeah.
But if he's not ready to go, I'm ready for the Jordan Mason, Ty Davis Price show.
I've been ready for the J.P. Mason show for a long time. Yeah. I call that guy the closer. That's what they call him there in the Bay Area. He is a bulldog. Like LeGarrette Blount style, run it down your throat. It's going to be hard to stop that dude, especially when you're mixing and matching him with speedier guys like Elijah Mitchell or Christian McCaffrey. And if McCaffrey can't go week 7, which it's still possible, he can still play week 7, especially with him having an extra day of prep going into Monday night. But if he doesn't go, Jordan Mason, I think, has definitely shown an ability to play in that game.
Yes, he, I mean, he's, yeah, he's been the closer for them. He runs the ball so hard, he's just young, and he's got something to prove, clearly. Are you still feeling like Mitchell is on the trade block?
Yeah, I am. I definitely am, just because I think the Niners want to see what they can get out of Ty Davis Price.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten an opportunity yet. Like, and it's, you know what, we're in year two now with this guy. Is he going to be anything, or is he going to be another trade asset? So I do think that one of Elijah Mitchell or Ty Davis Price does get traded at some point.
Okay, which former Shanahan assistant's going to trade for him?
Oh, that's true. Way it's the Dolphins. They have too many already. It's not the Dolphins.
I was thinking Texans.
I do like that, but they have Singletary and Pierce.
Yeah.
You act like that means they can't add a running back.
Damien Pierce is good.
He is okay.
I think he's good.
He's an average NFL running back.
I think Singletary's a very solid player, too. He's been a lot more... I've had him on my Dynasty fantasy team for a long time, so I paid attention to him in Buffalo.
Dynasty football for Nate Littlefield.
I know.
Look at you.
It's not fun.
It sounds like time-consuming.
It's too stressful, and never mind. You know what? Sometimes you forget you're on the air. And what
you know what? Maybe
say.
The Packers will trade for Elijah Mitchell, you know?
I like that. Maybe Aaron Jones has had issues with staying healthy, and A.J. Dillon is solid, but he kind of is a one-dimensional back.
Oh, really? A.J. Dillon is one-dimensional, but Damian Pierce is this great running back. Okay.
Well, he didn't say great. He said he's good, Kyle. He said he's good.
Okay, get off my butt, buddy.
So, back to the show, I guess. I forget where we're talking about.
I know, right?
We're talking about sports. Let's talk about the penalties real quick. Penalties?
Oh, my goodness.
How do you feel about? I'm not using that. They're not an excuse. There were some ugly ones, but it happens all the time, and that's not why the Niners lost. It was not because of penalties.
It was both. There were 25 total penalties in this game.
Yeah,
25.
That's a lot.
Referees, it's not about you. Stop it. Get some help. Honestly,
referees, listen to my man.
Just stop. Like especially the defenseless receiver hit by Deshaun Gibson there late. That's what cost them those last 3 points.
I was thinking the hold on Tre'Davious Ward was a little more egregious.
Both of them were pretty egregious.
Yeah,
I was flabbergasted they called it. Especially with a team like the Niners, who are definitely very physical, so were the Cleveland Browns, you got to let it play out. He didn't deliberately target him. He hit him correctly with the shoulder pads. And yet the referees made it all about them because they thought they needed to intervene. And then the hold on Tre'Davious Ward, which wasn't even a hold because he's just being physical with them. Like, a hold is when you grab someone, Nate, but not when you glance off the shoulder pad because you're trying to turn.
Yeah, and what they're really looking for, like pass interference holding, is that jersey tug.
Correct.
And if they see that at all, they're going to call it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that, you got to be sneaky about it. Not saying Tre'Davious Ward was doing that. Richard Sherman was the king of the subtle jersey tug. And he didn't always get away with it, but penalties, they suck. Niners, I've had issues with penalties in the Shanahan era. You know, getting too aggressive. I don't think there were any like personal foul. Well, personal. The Sean Gibson one was, but not like. You know what I mean? Not like just.
Oh my gosh! Why
can't I think of the word like a 15-yard
like a 15 like unnecessary roughness or anything? Like unnecessary roughness.
Yeah,
that's 15 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But there were some on McCaffrey though. The Browns committed that face mask and then hitting him out of bounds. Those are personal fouls.
It's the only way you can tackle him.
It seems like,
or you
got
to hurt him, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I guess that's what you got to do. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
I don't
know
what to do with McCaffrey, but he is banged up now. The good news is that according to at least ESPN's Adam Schefter, it is not considered a long-term injury. So what does that mean? That means that he could miss maybe a game, maybe two. The Niners have a bye week in week 9. So after week 7, they have a home game against the Bengals, and then they go on bye in week 9. So if McCaffrey misses this game, that probably makes sense. They gotta be safe with this guy. He's had a lot of injuries in his past, and they don't want to work him too hard, especially playing against Minnesota on turf. But
I hate turf.
Would it be the worst thing in the world if he missed 2 games?
No, it wouldn't. Preserving for health, too. I know. There's a line drawn in the sand about this a lot where it's like, if he's healthy and can go, why won't he go?
Yeah.
Because he's being paid to play, and I mean, you have him. It's an age-old argument. I'm in the camp of, if you got to rest him, rest him. This team can't rely on McCaffrey every play. Like, I mean, that has to do with their dominance.
And that was one of the things that I mentioned as well, is that they were relying too much on him in the red zone. The Browns knew it.
Yeah.
The Browns kept picking him out because they knew they were going to go to him in the red zone.
Yeah.
Even on that, I think it was a Texas route that he ran. They knew it right away.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that Kyle Shanahan did not have a good play calling game whatsoever.
And the throws weren't working for Brock. Nope. There were so many mistimed plays, yeah, or maybe bad. It's hard to tell sometimes for me as a casual fan.
It's a casual fan. Yeah. I don't know if you're casual. I mean, you've been a fan since
okay,
like,
you're
since
right.
10.
You're right. I'm not a casual, I guess. I
just
think
as you're a young fan, does make you a casual fan.
That's true. I'm a diehard fan. I bleed red for the Niners.
And,
did you know that?
And gold?
Mostly red.
You don't believe gold?
I've seen. Yeah, mostly red.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't found gold yet in there.
Well,
but when I do, I'll be rich.
Well, speaking of red and gold, we're going to talk about some red and gold Niner weaknesses, you know, stemming from week 6 going into week 7, what they need to work on, and possibly with the trade deadline coming around, because it's October and the trade deadline this year is spooky. It's on Halloween. Could we see another big-time blockbuster move? We will go over some trade targets after the break. But again, Sacktown Sports, look at us on the YouTube chat. We will be live during the break as well. But again, Sacktown Sports, Return of the Empire, Emil Fregoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter. We'll be back in a minute.
What it do, baby?
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fregoso and Nate Littlefield.
Pearl's going to rush over him. Bosa on the other side over Jones. Walker's throw intercepted. Coming back the other way, Deebo Lenore, 20, 15, 10. Banged out of bounds on the 5-yard line. The 49er defense comes up with the big takeaway.
Yes, sir. Deebo Lenore getting his, I believe, first pick of the season and second pick in his career. Congrats to Deebo. He had a very solid game. Obviously had that one slip-up with Amari Cooper on that sideline for the big, big gain. But besides that, was pretty solid overall for the Niners. What did you make of Deebo's performance?
Yeah, it's kind of a bounce-back game for him, right?
Yeah. One mistake, but the rest was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, Deebo's coming along. It's a little slower than what we'd like. Mm-hmm. But this is a perfect segue into where the Niners need to rethink, reevaluate, rebuild.
Time to look in the mirror.
Time to rebuild the empire, possibly.
Ooh.
Well, I see what you did there. Not in the middle of the season.
Return of the Empire, Sacktown Sports, Emil Fregoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter behind the cameras. Yeah, talking Niners, talking weaknesses, talking trade targets, because we're getting on that time of the year where the trade deadline's coming up. It's on Halloween this year, and I know we've thrown out a couple ideas in the past, but now more than ever, after watching the first loss for the Niners in almost a calendar year, Nate, what are some key areas that need to get better over the next few weeks?
Well, is this, first of all, let me ask you a question. Let me follow that question up with another question.
Ooh.
Is this the scariest trade deadline of all time?
I think it might
be. Does that answer your question?
I think it might be.
So where do the Niners need to rebuild?
The Empire.
Rebuild the Empire? I really think corner, defensive back, the last line of defense.
You mean the safeties?
Secondary, whatever.
Okay.
I think there needs to be some more. I think quarterbacks need to be a little more fearful, mm-hmm, of those guys, because if they can stop the D-line, which is where the fear is right now, then you know stop them for just long enough. And I always reference Matthew Stafford week 2. He got the ball out really quick against the Niners, and that seemed to be the kryptonite. Now, how they beat them, or how they kept it a close game, and you know, until the end, Stafford made a few mistakes, a couple of picks.
Yeah.
But I think the Niners need to go after a guy by the name of Jeremy Chinn on the Panthers.
Ooh.
He's been linked to a few teams. He's been linked to recently. I just saw a link to the Eagles.
Oh.
So that would, you know, that could be a little 2-for-1 situation.
Could be.
But Jeremy Chinn, he is on his rookie deal, last year the rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his cap hit is $3.3 million for this year. I don't know exactly. I'm not a cap wizard. I believe the cap is a mythical thing that it is impossible to understand.
Probably is.
It's for guys like Dave and Lombardi to break down.
Ooh, shout out Lombardi.
Stanford guys.
Lombardi's pretty good with the cap.
Yeah, so could that mean the Niners take the full 3.3 hit? I don't know, but when you have all this money that could potentially roll over, this $41 million that could roll over to the next season. So still relatively cheap.
Yeah.
But he is on his rookie deal, so this would be his last year on that deal. He could play safety, nickel, whatever the Niners need.
Yeah.
He's an all-purpose kind of secondary guy. I could see him potentially, I don't know about taking Tashaun Gibson's job. I don't think that's on
saying big words there.
I know. I don't think that's going to happen. But I mean, it'd be less snaps for guys like Isaiah Oliver, who have been good. There was some concern we had about Isaiah Oliver coming to the season, especially for like tackling. He had a big missed tackle in the preseason against Greg Dulcich.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Broncos, and since then he's just been a tackling machine.
He's been great.
But more on Jeremy Chinn. He's plays for the Panthers. He was drafted in 2020, 25 years old, still young. He's kind of bigger. He's 6'3", 220, so he's kind of in the bigger size of a secondary guy. But you know, secondary, you're not the smallest players usually on the field that aren't kickers. But it's weird this season for the Panthers because he's only played in 55% of the defensive snaps. This comes from SI, too.
Yeah.
His first 3 years in the league, he played 97%, 99%, and 91%. So he's not really seeing the field as much this year, and no one really knows why. I was reading on SI, and they're kind of Sports Illustrated. They're kind of – the theory there is that he doesn't fit the scheme, and it's just – plain and simple, not working, almost a la like Rashawn Holmes for the Kings last year. It's just not working over there for him.
Who fits on the Panthers anyway? They're 0-6.
That's true. So maybe it's just things aren't clicking. They're doing a lot in Pantherland. So they're Brian Burns has always been rumored. He's linked to every team, I believe you told me before the show started.
Brian Burns is everywhere, man.
Yeah, so.
Niner fans are still trying to get Brian Burns on the team. It's not going to happen. They're not
even
getting Brian
Bears
Burns.
Even the Bears want Brian Burns. Yeah. It's weird.
The Bears are trying to be competitive for some reason, yet they're not talented enough. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, but Jeremy Chinn is my pick. I know people want to bolster the O-line. Swing tackle is something I've mentioned. I mentioned to you before the show as well. But I like Jeremy Chinn. I was kind of skeptical, but guys like Larry Kruger sold me on him.
Yes.
Someone I watch.
Larry's a good guy to tell you about some talent.
I'm sold on Jeremy Chinn. If the Niners went for him and maybe even just had him for this year, I wouldn't be that upset. I don't know what they'd have to give up to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Do they need a running back? I don't know. Would it be late round picks? Because Jeremy Chinn, if it keeps up him only playing about half the snaps for the rest of the year, he's probably not going to re-sign with Carolina.
No, but he'd be a really nice compliment though to Isaiah Oliver playing in that nickel and dime package, and you know, could fill in for Tashaun Gibson or Talanoa Hufanga. God forbid one of them gets hurt. You know, they could fill in. You know, if Jair Brown is not ready to go, the rookie third rounder for the Niners. I'm going to throw out a couple corners that kind of in the same mold as you that can help out in that slot spot. Because that's where I think they need the most help, in the slot as well as outside, you know, opposite of Tre'Davious Ward.
Yeah, I mean, some of the best receivers play in the slot.
They do. Yes, CeeDee Lamb, so. You know, plays a lot
Cooper
of his time in the slot.
Cooper Kupp, will be playing again.
Mark Cooper, I think, was in there a little bit too.
Yeah.
So, some guys. There's been one that's been rumored, actually, with the Niners already, and that's Jalen Johnson for the Chicago Bears. Jalen Johnson's a younger guy, I believe 24 years old, has really come on this year in year four, I believe, for the Bears. He has a 79 PFF rating right now. He's only allowed 8 receptions all year on 17 targets, 10 tackles total. You know, no picks, but he's been a real kind of ball hawk, a good tackler as well, and someone, I believe, in the last year of his rookie deal as well, that the Niners could probably poke around and get for like a fourth or third round pick. And a guy who I think would immediately step in and contend for that number 2 overall cornerback spot.
Yeah, I mean, are they willing to give up that high of a pick though?
They have 11 of them.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You can't
keep them all.
I know, and they have the money, and it's doable. I mean, well, you can keep them all, right?
I mean, you could, but they don't need. Only have so much players. You want to, you know?
Yeah, I'm not against it. I do think secondary is where. They need to add a piece.
Well, let me throw another name out there for
Please
you.
Please do.
How about if you want a more veteran, some guy you know you can trust who's been a top slot cornerback in the NFL in previous years? How about Kenny Moore the second? How about Kenny Moore II from Indianapolis Colts? 66 PFF rating right now. Only 28 years old. He's played a lot of downs, a lot of snaps for the Colts. 5'9", 190. Obviously a shorter guy, but he can really complement Isaiah Oliver in terms of getting after those speedy guys in the slot there. And I think that he is a very, very talented cornerback that, you know, and a very good locker room guy that can really corral the young cornerbacks like Ambry Thomas and Diamador Lenore, get them up to speed even more. And I would really like to see Kenny Moore be a part of a winning football team and play meaningful football in December and January because it hasn't happened for the Colts. And he's a guy, too, you know, this year he's on a $8 million a year, yearly cash. His cap would be $8 million for just this year. It's the last year of his deal, though. So they're basically getting him as a rental and then moving on. So it's not going to cost them more later on. Obviously, they want to re-sign him. They could. But I don't think they're going to have to, you know, re-sign him for that number.
So with both of these guys, you got I'm sorry. Who was the first guy?
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson for the Bears.
Yes.
He, like Kyle just said, they're for some reason wanting to stay competitive. Do you think they're willing to move him? Same with Kenny Moore, too. Like, what is the Colts' plan? Because Anthony Richardson, I think Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, came out today and said he's probably not going to play the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Which is pretty devastating. Can they, I don't want to say run the table, but can they run with Gardner Minshew? And are they trying to compete? Like, what are these teams' goals right now? I know the goal is to win, but are they willing to move on from these guys and get, you know, these mid to late round picks for their talent? Kenny Moore's a little older, but
28's not too old, but still, I think the Colts are more in a position to kind of tank the rest of the season because they lost their young quarterback. They don't want to, like, try and win games. Gardner Minshew's a nice stopgap if they can, you know, do well, but it's not going to, like, we have Gardner Minshew, we can really make a run here. That's not how they're feeling.
He'd be great for like 3 or 4 games, which I kind of thought was going to be.
And he struggles when he starts. He's great when he fills in, but when he starts, he's not as good. It's a whole like epidemic. It makes no sense whatsoever. Excuse me. But that's why I think they'd be able to trade Kenny Moore more so in the Colts, or more so in the Bears, would trade Jalen Johnson, because Jalen Johnson's younger, all this other stuff. Kenny Moore's in his time with the Colts.
And they can probably get more for Kenny Moore in a trade. I mean, Jalen Johnson's not going for more than a day 2 or 3 pick.
I think a 4th rounder for Jalen Johnson makes sense, right?
Something like that.
He's been good this year.
Yeah, somewhere between a late day 2 or early day 3 pick. Like, Kenny Moore 2 years ago would have gone for a 1st-round pick. I don't know if that's the case now, but...
I don't know first, but 2nd. I'll give you a 2nd.
Yeah, so it's just kind of the Niners picking what they want. Also nominate Jabril Peppers from New England. That could be a move.
I like that one, too.
New England is in such a weird spot.
They're so
weird. They are... well, real quick, can we sidetrack? Do you think Belichick's out after this year?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I think Belichick resigns.
Yeah, resigns in quotes.
Here's this hot take, and I'll write this down. I'll pretend to write this down right now. Kyle has got the sticky notes. Kyle, write this down. Bill Belichick will no longer be the New England Patriots quarterback or coach after this season, and he will take the Los Angeles Chargers job.
Whoa, that is a hot take. I thought that was a cold take at first. Took a spin. Hot take. You got me.
Put it in stone.
That's like a microwave. Not going to happen.
Why is that not going to happen?
Because he's too good for that job.
Is he?
Oh, Kyle's a San Diego hater, though. He's a self-loathing.
If you were to name a team, I would name Washington more than the Chargers.
But they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, but Washington's going to give them all the power.
I think Spanos has had enough of this stuff. I think Spanos is going to let Bill Belichick run it how Bill Belichick sees fit.
Anyways, he's not going to the Niners.
No, he's not going
and
to the Niners.
And that's all that matters, because this is a 49ers show.
You diverted me.
I know.
That's on you.
I know. It got off the rails.
I do have one more person, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were talking about offensive line earlier, right? There is someone that it's going to be a little sneaky. You're not going to think of him, you know, as an option because, frankly, you didn't know he was on this team. But the Carolina Panthers are 0-6. They're looking to move off some people. And you're thinking, Brian Burns, why not? No. How about Chuba Hubbard, the right tackle there in Carolina, I believe.
Chuba Hubbard, the running back?
No, Chuba Hubbard. Who am I thinking of? I was thinking of someone else. I apologize.
Yeah, what Chuba Hubbard, the running back, could be interesting, though.
No, he would Chris be Hubbard. I apologize. Chris Hubbard.
That's okay.
Thank you. The Titans tackle. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It just Hubbard's flipped on me right there.
We could try that. I think Brock might get murdered, but we could give it a shot.
No, Chris Hubbard, the starting
you're
right
tackle. Like Zeke in the NFC.
Wait a second. What did I just do? Yeah. Chris Hubbard, the starting right tackle. He's been quietly really good this year. 72 on PFF. 357 snaps overall, no penalties committed, only 3 sacks allowed. And if they think that Colton McKivitz isn't doing a good enough job and they need another swing tackle because Trent's, you know, banged up, Chris Hubbard is a very good veteran, you know, and very cheap on a 1-year deal, about $1.4 million, wouldn't cost him much. And he's a guy that could fill in those spots for sure.
Tennessee, too, with Tannehill being a big question mark,
yeah,
going with Malik Willis. I mean, it's looking like they might blow it up, huh?
It's very possible.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Derrick Henry's getting to the end.
Rand Carthon is there, the former 49ers front office executive as well, obviously. Yeah. So they have some familiarity there. I would definitely look at Tennessee and go, hey, can we get one of your tackles? Because they run a very, you know, power run scheme as well, some of the Niners.
Yeah, a little inside information with Rand Carthon. So
I'm just saying. Chris yeah. Hubbard's there for like $1 million.
Yeah.
It's not a bad get.
I mean, right after secondary, I think you go to the O-line. That's where you look
yes.
at with the 49ers, where they can build upon. I think you can't be too overreactionary with one loss that was lost by 2 points.
Yeah.
In the rain against, you know,
the Browns,
arguably the best defense in the league. Yeah. So I think pump the brakes. Don't get too crazy, but I don't think Lynch and Shanahan are. It was just, you know, a bad week six.
Yep.
And the Niners will make some adjustments and hopefully get back on track, win a couple games before the bye week, get yeah. healthy, and steamroll. But O-line, I'm here for.
I'm here for the making upgrades in general, because this is a Super Bowl or bust season, right? Yeah. It's all about getting number six. However they can do that, whatever player they can add. Obviously, we added Randy Gregory. You know, already we were going to talk about it in the next segment.
I know, we forgot to talk about him.
He was very, very good.
In that case, let's call the Broncos up and trade for Mike McGlinchey.
I was thinking Gareth Bowles, actually.
They paid.
Get him from a losing situation to a winning situation, because, you know, he's tired of losing. but, yeah, we'll talk about Randy Gregory, and we'll also preview Week 7 against the Vikings on Monday Night Football. I'm trying to be like John Sutcliffe real quick. We're going to talk about the Minnesota Vikings and where they are at with Kirk Cousins, where the Minnesota Vikings are at in general, and where the Niners are at going into Minnesota. Could this be another slip-up, Nate? We'll talk about that next. Return to the Empire. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Sacktown Sports.
We're live on YouTube.
Hi.
And we're in high definition now.
So can you not remove... Wait, let me get in there real quick.
It's so weird. The main camera that I was using didn't work, but I didn't want to... We're live all the time, so there's not really a break I can drop the audio.
Yeah. So, Carmichael Davis signed into his account, so I'm going to leave message to Carmichael Davis.
Yeah, you can do that. Our friend Nick Cattles used to post on Carmichael Davis' Twitter account.
Dave should not do that.
Sorry, I'm talking to Nate. Can you do what's up, Nate? Well, now they can hear you. I mean, you can try. The main Sacktown Sports studio is in StreamYard, I think. But here, let me see real quick.
Tim, do you have any questions for us, you know, while we try and figure out these camera things? Do you have any questions for us, Dan or Natalie? Do you have any questions as well?
Yeah, I think it actually does sound okay. You're right.
Like, where are you guys at for the Niners? Are there any trade targets that you guys are interested in for the Niners to go out and get possibly? Like, do they need to improve anything?
I'm still going to throw out Jonah Williams. Like I said that in preseason and like in week one, I'm still going to nominate Jonah Williams for the trade candidacy.
Hi, Natalie. That's my aunt, Natalie. Everyone say hi to her.
Hi, Natalie.
That's my aunt.
Hi, Natalie.
We went to the NFC Championship games together.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was cool. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, you meant Dave is on the YouTube chat.
I'm logged in as Dave on YouTube right now.
Oh, yeah, you're the one who left that comment. Yeah. Okay.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's fair. I was just confused looking at
this. This is now fun for me.
Okay, cool.
So,
Carmichael Davis. Wait, did you do that last time, or was it genuinely
Dave was in here last time.
Dave was in here last time.
Yeah.
Dave's a log out of his stuff, though.
Okay, now I'm just confused.
Yeah, that's dangerous. I started a whole war between him and Dave.
That was funny.
No, it wasn't. It sucks from a production standpoint.
Why is
it? Because they would drag us into it.
Why would they drag you into it?
Dave was cool.
That didn't happen to me, at least.
I remember Vikings Adrian Peterson rushing record in a single game against Kyle's Chargers. I do remember Adrian Peterson. I'm curious what your point is, though, Ted.
Against Kyle's Chargers, too. No, let's be clear here. I don't claim this football team.
As he wears a Chiefs jersey.
Let me be very clear about a Patrick Mahomes jersey on my back. I am a 6-year recovering Charger fan. I will spend the rest of my life no longer caring about the Chargers.
You know, you not wear a Mahomes jersey to the Niners show, Kyle. It hurts my feelings.
Here's the thing. You're a recovering Chargers fan, but yet you support Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog? Hell yeah. He's cursing the Chargers for the rest of the time.
Ketchup the Frog is more like it.
I like that.
He loves ketchup.
Oh, guys, we did a great game.
On a steak. Oh.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Here we go. If he makes the kick, the 49ers win. They're 6-0. If he misses the kick, the 49ers lose. Snap.
Why would you play this?
He has the distance, and it is no good.
Kyle, maybe he made it.
The kick, and the 49ers lose.
Oh, you don't know he made it. Maybe. Greg Poppin told you if he makes it, they win. If they miss it, they lose.
I
maybe
was
he made it.
You were going to cut out the no and just so it sounded like good. And, you know, we could pretend they won.
He's reliving the trauma right now. Gets you
why would you do that? That hurts. That makes me sad. That makes me sad.
I'm sorry. Anyways, if you're tuning in right now, Return of the Empire, Mil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield.
I regret nothing.
I regret nothing either, Kyle. It's okay. I appreciate you for that. Because as soon as I heard it, I was like,
I mean, like, I have regrets in life, but, like, right now, no, I'm glad I made that decision.
I'm not. I'm depressed. Anyways, Niners are going to win this week against the Minnesota Vikings.
Are they?
85% sure.
On turf?
Come on, dude. Turf. Turf is turf. Turf is turf.
I'm poking the bear with Nate right now. Great.
You know what people aren't talking about?
Smurf.
So the Vikings have a pretty decent amount of injuries right now. Nobody's talking about how Nick Mullins is on IR. It was supposed to be his revenge game against the 49ers. And he's on IR.
The same way Marquise Goodwin had a revenge game for Cleveland?
Yes, very true. Very true.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't he get the ball twice?
Jaren Hall.
Wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, it was Kellen Mond last year, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Where is Kellen Mond in the league anymore?
Isn't he in? No.
I don't know.
Is he in the XFL?
I don't know.
I thought he was in Cleveland, but he's not.
Cleveland!
No, not anymore.
Where's that one?
That drop?
Yeah, where's that drop?
I don't know.
Anyways, Kellen Mond is with the Colts.
Really? I didn't know that. That's a fun fact right there. Kellen Mond with the Colts, everyone. Breaking news.
Yeah, so Nick Mullins not playing. Guaranteed win for the Niners.
A guaranteed win because it's Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle is very fond of Kirk Cousins.
This is true. He's I'd say more than that. He's in love with him.
Wanted him to be the starting quarterback for the team, but obviously it didn't work out.
So bad.
So badly.
So bad.
And
maybe even to this day.
I think he's okay with it now, though, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say
it worked out with Brock Purdy for the most part.
Well, Kirk had a pretty ugly week last week, too.
Kirk's had an ugly season. Let's be real here.
Yeah, his team. Yeah.
The team
is
he's not
lost,
good.
He's lost his receiver, who's really kind of his only weapon. Their run game is pitiful.
Are you not a fan of Jordan Addison?
I just think he's not, again, that's another dynasty guy I have. I think he's just, I really thought he was going to step up because every time Dalvin Cook would go down, he was like the best handcuff to have in fantasy. Mm-hmm. He could put up big numbers and play well. I'm not saying that equates to him being a good football player or anything, but they just can't get a solid run game, seemingly,
no.
In Minnesota. It's just it's not working. It's not working for them. And you know what else isn't working for them?
What is it?
Their secondary.
No.
And this is per Chris Watkins. Chris Watkins,
a resident Vikings fan.
Yeah, resident Vikings fan. He is very low on the Vikings secondary.
Really?
And they do have two pretty key injuries this week, I guess. I mean, one more than the other, but...
Them off.
How do I pronounce this? A Caleb Evans.
Yes.
He's doubtful with his oblique soreness, so similar to McCaffrey. But I think it's a little more serious with him from what I was reading. Mm-hmm. And then their guy, Marcus Davenport, doubtful with a high ankle sprain.
But he's more of a linebacker. He's not really a secondary.
Yeah, sorry. I just... Two key guys on defense.
Yeah, Marcus Davenport is definitely doubtful. He had a high ankle sprain against the Bears. He's not going to play.
No.
And that's not a surprise. Marcus Davenport's been very much injured for most of his career. Very talented player when he does play, but the injury bug has definitely bitten him a few times. And so that's a big loss for the Vikings there. And they got Harrison Smith still back there, obviously. But he is looking like an older statesman now. Unfortunately, the great Harrison Smith does not look to be as good as he once was. And this... This Vikings team's kind of looking in the mirror like, if we go 2-5, we lose the Niners. Is it time to sell shop? Is Danielle Hunter on the market?
Yeah, and you know, with the deadline coming up, what are they gonna do? What are they gonna do with Kirk Cousins last year of his deal? Kind of felt like, I mean, still could happen.
They're not trading him somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, they said they weren't trading him.
They're gonna do the same thing they always do, which is run it back, give Kirk a 2-year extension, and go 7-10.
Yeah, I don't.
I might not even go 7-10 this year.
They're just with Justin Jefferson being out for probably what, 3 or 4 more weeks.
Yeah,
right. I mean, he's been on IR for 2 now.
One. Yeah, he got 3 weeks and then he's back.
So, but that's not even a guarantee. I've heard reports that it could be.
Especially if the season's shot. Why risk it? Why bring him back if they're just going to lose games? Like, the Vikings could be in a really interesting situation come December, where they're like, say they're 3-7.
Yeah.
Right? They're 3-7 or they're 3-8, whatever. They could look at that and go, hey, Caleb Williams is there.
I was about to say.
Hey, Caleb Williams and Justin Jefferson, we're back, baby. That's all I'm saying. The Vikings, this might be the week where they turn their sails around and go, all right, it's time to sell shop.
Yeah, it's Monday Night Football, too, if you didn't know. So Niners get an extra day, but that means one less extra day for the Bengals.
It's at home, though. Before the bye, so that's good.
It is at home. I think that's... I'm excited to talk about that game next week. But we're not talking about that game.
No, to the Vikings.
Do you think Minnesota... So last week, you had a pretty good feeling that Cleveland was going to put up a fight. It was going to be a dog fight.
I got laughed at, actually, about this.
No, by...
Draper.
And Zachariah, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, but look at you now. Look at your...
It's not like I cover football for a living. It's not like I do this for a living.
Minnesota, pretty beat up everywhere. Pretty much, right?
Certain spots.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the Niners going into Minnesota? Primetime Kirk Cousins, notoriously bad, which I don't know if that means anything or not. I think he's kind of shed that reputation lately.
To a degree. I mean, Kirk just hasn't been Kirk might put up the stats, but he hasn't looked amazing really all season. I mean, just looking at these games, like, they've been in all of them, but they haven't won convincingly whatsoever.
Opposite of last year.
Complete...
not convinced. They wouldn't win convincingly last year, but they were in all these games that they easily could have lost.
Oh yeah, easily
could have lost.
Yeah,
they were. Again, Chris Watkins would call them frauds last year because they'd win these close games that were just like, how did they do that? How did they pull that off? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But they're not. I don't have confidence in Minnesota to be good.
And this might be the worst time to catch the Niners, coming off of their first loss in a year. They're angry. They're mad. They want this back bad. They want to go into the bye week with 2 straight wins, obviously, and confirm that number one seeding. They only lost 1 game. This is the worst possible case for the Minnesota Vikings to play the 49ers in primetime after a bad loss.
Yeah, the key for the Niners to win this game, too, I mentioned at the top of the show, is going to be establishing that run game early. They threw the ball a lot last week, and it was ugly. Luckily, Minnesota's in a dome.
Yes.
It's going to be covered, snow. I don't think it snows in Minnesota in October, really.
No, in October.
Yeah. I mean, it probably has. I'll say definitely has at some point.
Probably has.
Regardless, they're not going to have to. Yeah, they're not going to have to worry about it. The weather being a factor, I guess. You keep bringing up the turf. That's something. But they're playing on turf.
And really, if you look at their pass rushing stuff, they're the players. None of them really stick up besides Danielle Hunter. I mean, they got Dean Lowry on the other end. You got Harrison Phillips. You got Jonathan Ballard, and then you got Danielle Hunter. Marcus Davenport would have been that sub linebacker rush. Coming off the edge, but now he's possibly out, so he's going to go to Andrew Booth Jr., who hasn't been, very great for them. And Jordan Hicks is also still there, but, when it's just Jordan Hicks, it's not as great, right? Jordan Hicks is a good complementary player next to other good players.
Yeah, I don't know. I will be interested to watch the reffing in this game, too, because I know there were some upset Minnesota fans last week about the some flags, but... how many penalties do the 49ers commit? Are they stupid penalties?
Yeah.
Is it because of our fill-in guys? If Debo and McCaffrey don't, if Trent doesn't go, whoever doesn't go, false starts, maybe not getting the play out in time. Like Ray McLeod last week did not fit in very well.
He struggled with the adjustments.
There was a screen set up for him where he like ran right into Trent.
Yep.
And it was clearly, I think even the broadcast mentioned it was a Debo play.
Yep.
So, maybe going into the week, having an idea that Debo won't be there is good.
I think they're going to treat it like that. They're going to treat a lot more of situational stuff and a lot more of getting the depth, those practice reps. Because in week 6 against Cleveland, you could clearly see they weren't getting those reps. And that was a problem, is that they need to have a little more continuity, which is interesting because this Niners team's been put together for a while now. So to see them kind of fall apart, miscommunication, I mean, it happens, but it's really rare for this team to do that.
We haven't seen Ronnie Bell either in a while.
Yeah.
Like, even on special teams, I see him running around and stuff, but I was really excited for Ronnie Bell, and I thought he kind of had his coming out party against the Giants, where he had his two catches, his touchdown, and then the bounce off stretch back catch.
That was fun.
I thought he was kind of starting to get more involved. They started to get Ray more involved than him in the offense, just probably because he knows it better, not a rookie. But, man, if Debo can't go, I would love to see more Ronnie Bell on the offensive side of
the
ball.
I think you will, though. I think for sure you will. Because I think if Debo's out, Brandon Ayuk's number one, Juwan's number two, Ray's three, and Ronnie's four.
Didn't see Ronnie last week when Debo went out.
I think it was because of the bad weather and the situation. Yeah. I think they wanted to have a more trusted guy there. I do think that if they elevate a guy like Willie Snead off the practice squad, Willie Snead is still a decent enough wide receiver to still catch the passes, I think.
Sometimes he catches them.
Sometimes.
He's known for drops.
Again, he's older sometimes, but what I see from Willie Snead in practice, on the practice squad, still looks good. Still making good catches at the ripe age and now in his 30s. I mean, Willie Snead's had a long career in the NFL for a reason, because he's been able to be reliable in certain spots.
Yeah, I am a Ronnie Bell fan. I really want to see him play more.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Danny Gray, is he even on this team?
He's on IR.
Oh, yes.
He's hurt.
My bad. He's
still hurt with, I believe, his shoulder, the joint sprain.
So right now he isn't on the team.
He is not on the team right now.
Yes.
It's just Danny Gray, like, I thought he was going to move into that more prominent speedster role, slot guy.
He was supposed to. He had a really nice training camp, Nate.
Yeah.
And then got hurt like in the first preseason game, and it sucked.
I just want to see more Ronnie Bell.
I do too.
That's it.
I think I love Ronnie Bell, dude. Yeah. I think he's awesome. I think he's so talented.
Yeah. He's tough.
Could we see more George Kittle, though, in this game because Debo's out, possibly?
I guess they tried to get George involved last week, and I'm trying not to just reference last week.
He had his worst career game ever, though, last week. One catch for 1 yard.
That was his worst career game?
Yeah.
Really?
One catch for 1 yard.
I mean, he was targeted several times. It just wasn't working. And it's hard to believe that that's a timing issue or anything like that.
He was targeted twice, by the way.
Yeah, okay, so twice, yeah. It was...
They were getting mauled in the running game. That's why he had to come back.
Yeah, they needed him to block. So
they did.
And that's why Juszczyk wasn't really getting involved passing game either. Because, you know, you'll see Juszczyk run like a deep slant sometimes. You're like, whoa, why
he
is
runs
Juszczyk
those curl routes, dude. It's
20
so
yards
much fun
down the field. So
he runs a wheel. It's great.
Yeah, hopefully the Niners just establish early. They've been scoring every single first drive of the game. They've scored a touchdown except for one. The Giants game, they scored a field goal.
But they've scored every single
drive. They've scored every single time.
Awesome. It's huge.
Yeah, it's awesome. But it's like they just kind of slow down. Like they slowed down. There's been a couple games where they just like downshift into a different gear and kind of.
Yeah.
Those scripted plays hit different.
Yeah, that's true. That's true on the opening drive, too.
Kyle's great at the opening act.
Yeah, you kind of catch him off guard, yeah, and you get
those
early points.
Yeah, he's got 36 hours of not sleeping to plan 15 plays.
Kyle sleeps maybe 3 hours total per night.
Yeah.
Total.
They come out early and you know, do some damage, get up early, keep just... I want to see, 7.5-minute drives. 8-minute drives where the Niners are just...
Absolutely.
You know, and then that opens up the game for Brock to take the lid off defense.
Yeah,
Go deep.
That's absolutely what they need to do. They need to establish control, establish time of possession. No, run it down their throats and really make them frustrated because they're overworking them. That's the whole Niners philosophy, is to outplay them by outmuscling them, because they're such a physical and violent team, both offensive and defensive, that when they have those long sustained drives of 11, 12, 13, 14 play drives, they wear down those defenses. And frankly, the Niners got taken to by the Browns because they were doing exactly that week 6.
Yeah, just get right. Get right for the Bengals, who are a dangerous team. When you have... I truly believe the Bengals
dangerous.
Are. When you have Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow seems to be healthy now.
Dangerous.
That's a dangerous team. That is a dangerous team. They're playing well. I know I'm looking ahead. I'm not on the team, so I'm allowed to look ahead.
You are.
To the next schedule. The Niners need to have a solid win against Minnesota. They don't need to blow them out. They can win 24-10 or something, 24-14.
Yeah.
I don't know how you count a blowout, two touchdowns, whatever, but
To me, it's like three pass the sticks. If it's 21-0 pass the sticks, you know how it is.
Yeah. I guess I do know how it is, but I think they need a solid win here in Minnesota. Short week, back home.
Yes.
And you need to come correct for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Is this game more important, though, than the Bengals game to set up like success going into the bye?
No, you want to win going into the bye. Okay. I'd say that's more important,
okay,
in my opinion, because this is the same thing with that Thursday night game where you go into the mini bye, you win your Thursday night game, you don't have 10 days off dreading, you know, that loss sticks with
true
you.
True, good point.
And this is 14 days, so mm-hmm. coming up. And the Bengals, I believe, are a very high caliber team that could get back in the mix.
And they get hot as the season goes on, yeah, too. So
they've kind of done this before, and you know, last 2 years AFC Championship, not a whole lot has changed on that roster.
And the Niners have a history of getting, you know, whooped by an AFC team going to the bye. Last year was Kansas City, and now this year it could be the Bengals. So yeah, they gotta take the game seriously. But we're talking Minnesota. So my prediction for Minnesota week 7 is the Niners win 27-17. Let's go with that. 27-17.
I'm going to go a little lower scoring. I'm going to go 24-14, like I said earlier.
Nice.
I think it's closer for a while, but I think the touchdowns the Vikings score will be like quicker ones. I think the time of possession will be in the Niners' favor heavily. Yeah. You know, like 65-35% in the Niners' favor.
I like
favor.
That. That's good.
But the scores the Vikings will have will be quick.
Yep.
Kind of, you know, catch the Niners slacking in some
spots. They get caught with explosives all
yeah.
the time.
So I think that's kind of how they'll score. Mm-hmm. And I think the Niners dominate time of possession to win the game.
I'll go 35-22.
Ooh. Okay.
22, that's kind of a hard number to get to.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they miss a 2-point conversion. I don't know.
Scorigami?
Right. I wish it. I'll find a Scorigami score next time. Next time I'll pick a Scorigami. Yeah.
All right. Well, and speaking of that, next time Return of the Empire returns every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. live and local on Sacktown Sports. We'll be back next Tuesday to recap Week 7 Monday Night Football. I will not be there because it's in Minnesota, but we will recap all the action leading it. That one, and then leading into Week 8 against the Bengals. But again, Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter on the ones and twos. Appreciate it as always, sir. Thank you all for listening. YouTube, we love you. Thank you, guys. And we'll be back next week. See ya!
What it do, baby?
All right, we're clear.
Thanks for a wonderful show, everybody.
Thank you. I didn't get to weave this in the show. Apparently, the Vikings still have 4 primetime games this year.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I thought everyone knew they were frauds last year.
I know. They still have 4 primetime games left.
See you, Camp Fail.
Continue the rest.
Can I just say Camp?
Yeah, Camp Fail.
I'm guessing Brazilian.
Oh, yeah.
I like that Finn changed his picture mid chat.
Finn's a dog, dude.
I know.
Finn's a dog.
I know. Me and Finn, we got a 2-on-2.
Shout out, Natalie. Shout out, Natalie. Appreciate you here.
Of course.
Shout out, Kayla.
Shout out, Kayla. So much. Makes me sick. Makes me sick how much I love you.
Yeah. God, that's so adorable.
Yeah, I know.
How was that for you?
Oh, it was nice. It was really nice. I got some cider. I got 2 pies. We got this weird, like inside out pie. I don't know. It was good. She did like wine tasting. I just kind of drank coffee while she did that.
Gotcha.
But no, it was a good time. I was tired. I got to do that show in the morning Saturday.
Yeah, you helped me out. I appreciated that.
Oh, that's true. I did help you out.
We got a new show coming up very shortly, guys. So stay tuned for that on Saturday morning.
I get all the people still left here.
It's me and I'll just say it's going to be involving the sports memorabilia side of the world.
I'll just say it's Emil and the President of the United States.
Yeah.
It's a big show.
Yeah. I'm cool like that.
I thought you were going to say like John Lynch or something. I was like, damn.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, got Bryant Young real quick.
Yeah, we got we got the ghost of somebody famous, the ghost of George Washington. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow, we went to the top shelf there.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something like Bill Walsh.
No, no, we're going top show.
It's real top show.
We're Seifert. Yeah, and Bill Murray.
Is George Seifert dead?
Yes.
Oh.
I think so.
Oh, hold man. On. Hold on.
Let's take a look.
He is not. I apologize. 8 years old and going strong.
Always say no. Don't say yes when someone asks you.
And them. You don't know. Not, the 49er did just pass away, unfortunately. There are a couple that did just pass away, so I wasn't totally sure. And I believe Sean McVay's dad, John, did pass away last year. So
Wait, was it his dad or his grandpa?
Sorry, his grandfather. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, his grandfather. There's a lot of people.
You just killed George Seifert and Sean McVay's dad within the span of like a minute.
See, Kyle, I don't appreciate that. You're my producer. Come back again here.
I regret nothing. I'm a killer. Not really.
I'm a cowboy.
Yeah, I'm a cowboy. That's Frankie.
I'm a King's cowboy.
I'm a steel horse.
You can be the Niners cowboy.
I'm wanted.
You can be the Niners cowboy.
Dead or alive.
What would you be? Let's go. Frank is the King's cowboy.
Now he's the pizza cowboy. I'd be the 49ers Niner.
49ers Niner.
What's the name of the mascot? Has a stupid name. What's the name
Sourdough
of the mascot? Yeah, Sourdough Sam. You could be Sourdough Sam.
Mascot has a stupid name. What's his name?
Sourdough Sam doesn't even make sense.
You could be like
Sam's awesome.
The 49ers sommelier, because like, because you're Italian, maybe something. I don't know. We could think of something clever here. But
sure. Tin says the Kyle's the brains, meets the hot and the bull takes, and Emilio, which is not my name. Yeah, he's information insider.
It kind of
the hot.
Hot takes.
Oh, a hot taste. I thought he said he was the look, like hot, like the look.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You might be.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyways,
I start wearing more makeup.
We got to go home.
Like Shannon Sharp.
We could do this. We could do this all day, but we shouldn't because, you know, we got bills to pay.
Mouths to feed.
Mouths to feed.
Like, we're paying bills right now.
Yeah, but nothing in this world for free.
Shout out Timber Creek.
Shout out Timber Creek. Of course, not. See ya. Give me tea times today, Rosen, California. See ya. Bye, all.